That would be where neglect would fall in, and emotional abuse where parents are humiliating, belittling, you know, doing something that makes a child feel less than who they are, damages their self-esteem or their self-worth.
Doesn't every parent from the beginning of time, haven't they done that before, belittled, shamed?
What we're talking about in a lot of ways is more than those few rare times when you do it accidentally or you do it because you don't have anything else to say. But when you do that the majority of times and you don't have the positive praise or the encouragement as the bulk of what you do, how you respond to a child, that's where you get the emotional abuse.
Is a little bit of shame a good thing? And I know that's a creepy thing to ask, but is it good maybe to take a kid off the pedestal a little bit?
Our kids need to know all of our emotions, everything that we can feel, and shame is one of those things. And so I think a healthy way that we can instill all of those feelings in a child, but I think only to a point where they understand what that is and that they're ashamed of how they treated their brother or sister, something like that, but not to a point where it's really damaging to their self-esteem or their self-worth.
Do you agree, Detective?
Yeah, I do. And I do have to give full disclosure here. Teresa's given me some parenting tips over the years. Mm-hmm. And to highlight one of the points she just made, I can think of several instances where I had a knee-jerk reaction to my child, and I wasn't proud of the way that I treated her. And so I go back and say, the way I reacted was inappropriate. And yes, I use that word with her. And tell her, no matter what happens, I still love her even when I'm upset at her. And if I knock her off her pedestal, I make sure that she knows that sometimes I'm wrong and do what I can to let her know that no matter what she does, I still love her.
And you're pretty confident that message sinks in.
I'll let you know in about 15 more years.
Is spanking, Ms. Nygaard, is that child abuse?
I mean, the simple answer is no, it's not child abuse. And I think that's where we always get into the power struggle. What I will say about spanking is there's a lot of other forms of discipline that we can use. And I think where it becomes abusive is when that's the only thing you use. And of course, the technicalities of leaving marks become child abuse to the law. At the Parenting Place, our philosophy is we don't believe that corporal punishment is the best form of discipline. And so our curriculum for 30 years has been based on nurturing, not on spanking. So we use nurturing parenting techniques to help parents gather enough information to be able to have other strategies. We call it in their toolbox. So if you have one tool that you use and you're going to build a house, if you only have one tool, how successful are you going to be building that house? Probably not very successful. So what we want to do is we want to load up that toolbox with a lot of tools for them to use. That way, any given circumstance, any age, they've got something to pull out. And it probably won't be spanking as the first choice.
I'm curious. We do broadcast to a big chunk of Montana. Your specialty, obviously, Detective, is Missoula. Mm-hmm. What do you and your colleagues see in this town? How pervasive is child abuse in whatever form it may take?
Well, I would say that we don't even see all of it. Child Protective Services is going to see much more than we do. And they often see the case much sooner than we do. And if during their investigation they believe that a criminal line has been crossed, that's when we get the case. So I do believe that question would be better answered by somebody through Child Protective Services. I will tell you that CPS is incredibly busy, as am I.
Well, what we notice at the Parenting Place is that we've got families walking through the door all the time, whether they're referred by another organization in our community, whether they're mandated by the court system or Department of Family Services, or whether they've heard it from a family member and they've decided to walk through the door on their own. What we see are a lot of families who are struggling, financial struggles, housing struggles, mental health issues, drugs and alcohol, domestic violence. I mean, there's a range of things. And one of the things we're really looking at this point in time is something called adverse childhood experiences. Probably the majority of families that we see are parents who have had a multitude of adverse childhood experiences in the first 18 years of their life. What that means is they've either been abused or neglected in some fashion. They have had family dysfunction, which includes mental health issues, domestic violence, parent or a family member has been incarcerated. And once you get to a certain number of those, four or more is going to mean that you actually perpetuate some dysfunction in your life because you're trying to cope with all of that trauma you endured as a child.
These adverse childhood experiences, what sort of toll, if there is one, does it exert on our society long term?
It's tremendous. What we see with parents who had adverse childhood experiences, a multitude of them in their first 18 years, are people who don't cope very well, people who are trying to self-medicate, drugs, alcohol, addictions, people who have mental health issues, are mentally ill, need medications, people who then perpetuate a cycle of violence with their family or others. It's just pervasive. When we look back and we see all this damage, then we can look forward and see all the damage it's going to create.
Detective, how effectively does law enforcement handle child abuse? And when I say law enforcement, I'm talking about everyone from the cop on the beat to the county attorneys to judges.
I think here in Missoula, and I can only speak as far as Missoula goes, I think that we do a pretty good job. And it's not necessarily because it's just our response. But we've got places like the Parenting Place that we can refer these families to. There's other nonprofits in Missoula that can help surround families as well. And I feel like we do a pretty good job in Missoula of knowing who these nonprofits are and knowing that whether we respond to a call where a parent is making a report of child sexual abuse, maybe a trusted person has offended on the child, or whether it's the prosecutor who's handling the case at the end, both the prosecutor and then also the initial responding officer can either refer the family to Parenting Place or refer the suspect for treatment and resources here in Missoula. So I feel like we do a good job because we've got so many fantastic resources in Missoula.
But what if you're in Libby or Broadus or Dillon, someplace where maybe they don't have the wealth of those resources? Ms. Nygaard.
You have to have the ability to either transport people or for people to have the transportation to get themselves to resources. Otherwise, they just don't get them.
When we talk about child abuse prevention, what does that mean? Let's say you're a 19, 20-year-old father. Mm-hmm. Your wife or your girlfriend is out at work and you have the baby and the baby is screaming and is in a fit. And we read these stories about these people, they go off on the child and it's a homicide eventually.
Right, right.
What do you do in those sorts of circumstances?
Well, in those sorts of circumstances, when you're talking about a father who is just ready to lose it at that moment, it may be too late. But what we want to do instead is we want to get the word out that parenting classes, parent education is all normal. None of us are given a handbook when we bring our child home from the hospital. And so we want to normalize parent education so that everybody comes to the table to get a little bit more information. And so when we do our classes or we do our home visiting program, we're offering that. We offer something called the period of purple crying. It covers exactly what you're talking about. The normal stage of crying that happens, they used to call it colic. And so everybody had a colicky baby. Now it's called the period of purple crying, and it lasts from about 2 weeks, could potentially last up to 5 months. That is normal. And we need to make a plan for when that happens, when baby is crying so much and so often that we feel ourselves losing control, we have a plan in place for that. So young dad, if he came to our classes and he learned about period of purple crying, he would have a plan in place so that he would say, okay, this is what they were talking about. I need to go set the baby down in the crib. I need to walk out on the front porch and just take a deep breath. Or I need to call my mom because she's the one who could come over and help me with the baby. It's okay to reach out for help. Sometimes we all need it.
And Detective, what if you're a young woman, you have a toddler, an infant, and you just started dating a guy? Is it wise to leave your baby with that man?
Well, every situation is going to be different. True. My knee-jerk reaction would be to say no. How well do you know this person? Do they possess any parenting skills? Do they have kids of their own? Are they in a relationship with you with ulterior motives, maybe an interest in your child, which I will tell you is rare, but it is certainly something a protective parent needs to look at. But I would say that there's probably people better equipped in your life than the new boyfriend to care for the child, whether it be using respite care at the parenting place or seeking out a drop-in daycare where you've got professionals who are trained and background checked to care for your child, versus leaving them with somebody who may not want to care for the child and is only doing so perhaps to appease you and just may not be equipped with the tools to take care of that child for you.
How do you ferret out a guy who or somebody who may have ulterior motives or more interested maybe in your child than in you? Are there any obvious signs?
Well, if they're on the sexual offender registry for sexual crimes, that would be the first thing I'd look at. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people's reputation precedes them. And oftentimes when somebody begins dating somebody, they know friends of friends. And I would say if people are saying, hey, this guy was suspected of this in the past. He seems like a really nice guy. I hate to say anything bad, you know, but I heard he did this. You might want to know, you know, trust your friends, trust your gut instinct, watch the interaction with the child. If there's anything that makes you uncomfortable, address it. Your first obligation is to your child.
How difficult is it to check out the sexual offender registry? Do you have to go down to City Hall? And
no, you can get online and you can simply Google sexual offender registry Montana and you can type in a name. You can do that very discreetly. It's amazing what you can find, not only in, as far as people you know or somebody you might have concern with, but you can also check out your own neighborhood. You can check out the city of Missoula. There's quite a bit of information available on those websites.
Last question, Ms. Nygaard, let's say you are out shopping or you're just in the backyard gardening and you hear an adult getting a little out of control with their child.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get involved, can you? It's Montana. People need to just mind their own business. Yeah?
Exactly. And that's what we all think. It's uncomfortable. And I just wrote a little piece on this because I decided that I needed to see if I could test my own courage in this area. I did just what you were talking about. I intervened during a negative parenting moment, and I said a few things that were very positive, and it turned out great. She actually smiled and then showed a little more attention toward her child. You can walk up to somebody and say, you know, my child at this age was doing the exact same thing. I really empathize with you. Whatever it is, keep it positive because we don't want to escalate a parent. We want that parent to feel like, okay, I'm not the only one. Okay, I'm having a tough time and not everybody's judging me in a negative way.
Great advice. I've been speaking with Teresa Nygaard, the executive director of the Parenting Place in Missoula, and Missoula Police Detective Katie Peterson. You also serve as president, board of directors of...
Past president, board of directors for the Parenting Place.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both so much for coming
Thank
in.
You.
It was a real pleasure.
Thank you.
You.